Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Are you an overcomer this morning?
Yes.
And how do you overcome? By the blood of the Lamb, the word of your testimony, and loving not your life unto death. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you for this precious time in your presence, in your word. We thank you for the anointing upon your word, that it breaks every yoke and it lifts every burden. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit working mightily in us today, moving in amongst your people, Father God. Lord, we thank you that your love and kindness is everlasting. We thank you that you loved us first. Father, we just praise you now for this time and all that you're going to do and say unto us. May there be the renewing of the mind. May faith come from the hearing of the word. May there be transformation into the image of Jesus Christ in our lives. Amen. I'm sharing this morning because Pastor asked me to give a testimony. And some of you know that I was in the hospital right before Thanksgiving. And I had an attack of meningitis. So I'm here this morning to say, I'm back! There are two types of meningitis. There's viral and bacterial. Bacterial is the worst. And guess what I had? The worst. I want to read from Philippians chapter 2 about Epaphroditus. You probably don't know of him. Maybe you've read this, but may not remember. But he was very important to Paul and to the church. And in Philippians chapter 2, verse 25, it says, "But I thought it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and fellow worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger and minister to my need, because he was longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. For indeed he was sick to the point of death, but God had mercy on him." I thank God for my life. I'm here because of the mercy and grace of God. It was a real shock. I was in a dentist's office on Thursday having the last of my mercury amalgams removed. About 2 hours later, I'm still at the dentist's office, and I began to have chills, and I just couldn't get warm. You know, it's very hard to pray when they've got instruments in your mouth. Come against that. So by Tuesday, my temperature is 104.5. And my husband says to me, "Either you let me take you to the doctor or I'm calling 911. Now I responded, "But my hair is a mess." Is that a woman thing or what? "But you've got to give me a break. I hadn't washed my hair for a few days. I hadn't been feeling so great." So he got me in the car, and it's kind of interesting, the ride to the hospital, which I don't remember, and it was kind of hair-raising. But he got me there. And I remember getting out and going into emergency. I couldn't keep my eyes open. I remember hearing the voice of a nurse and the doctor. They gave me a spinal tap, and right away they felt that it was meningitis. So they just started me on the antibiotics. They didn't wait for the test results to come back. And in the hospital, even with the antibiotics, unknown to me, I was very anemic. Now, a year ago, I did not feel so great in my body, and I was believing God and doing things, you know, to try to build myself up. So this year, I'm thanking God that I'm feeling so good, you know, and I think I'm doing great. Didn't know I was anemic. So that just posed an extra problem for my health. And they almost lost me. They couldn't get my blood levels up. My heart rate was so low that they thought I might just, you know, slip over to the other side. So I really believe that it was a power of prayer. There were six pastors praying for me. There were three churches. There were prayer groups from other churches praying for me. And I prayed. And I just thank God for the power of prayer. And people, it's so important that you know, wherever you are, if you're young, if you're old, that God's not done with you yet. That gave me great encouragement And at first, I'm kind of in and out of it, and I didn't realize that my life was on the line. And the whole thing is just a shock. And now I think, did I really go through that? I know I did. But God was so good, and through prayer, I began to respond. But while I was in there on a Sunday morning, there was a doctor that came in and said to me, if you don't have a blood transfusion, you're going to die. And I wasn't afraid or I wasn't shaken, and I didn't have a mind to have a blood transfusion. And that's great when it's really necessary and it does save lives, but I didn't feel that that was God's best for me. So I said no. So if his words were true, I would not be here because I didn't have a transfusion. And that I attribute to the power of God. Answered prayer. There was another doctor that when it was just getting really tough and they didn't know if I was going to make it or not, he said to Mike, I don't know if you believe in a higher power, but the outcome will be decided by a higher power. And Mike says, I do, and I know. And he said, well, how do you know? And he says, well, because I talk to him every day, and I have a peace about it. So he was a Jewish doctor and wore the Jewish cap. And he was my favorite doctor because he told me God's stories. So I really appreciated him. And I have to say that in the hospital, I had really excellent care. And I thank God for that. In the hospital, there were some things that I did. I did pray when I realized it was serious, my life was on the line. I said, Father, I want to live, and I choose life. And the word says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. I also said, I'm not going to die, but live and declare the glory of the Lord. I would say the same spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead dwells in me and quickens my mortal body, makes it alive. I would speak healing scriptures because they were in me. And I couldn't read my Bible. I didn't even leave home with my Bible. I was so out of it. But the Word of God has been deposited in me over the years, and it was there for me when I needed it. This year, make it your goal to learn and put the Word of God in you as never before. You don't know when you're going to need it. You don't know when it could be a life and death situation, not necessarily for you, but for someone else. And you may not have your Bible with you. And I couldn't call up Pastor and have him give me a scripture or a promise. So I want us to turn to Psalm 90, verse 10. I don't know if you know this scripture is here in the Bible, but this is important. In Psalm 90, verse 10, as for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80. It's really an important verse because we need to decide now, whether we're young, whether we're old, no matter what we face, if we're not at 70 yet, that we need to hold on to the number of our days. Not let one day be stolen from us that God has for us. Right. Not think it's over because of accident, injury, sickness, or disease coming against us. Knowing that God isn't done with you. Knowing what the will of God is for your life. That each of us are ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Each of us have a special God assignment in the earth. If you haven't completed it, guess what? Use your faith. You don't have to go anywhere. Another scripture is Psalm 27:13 that says, I would have despaired if I didn't believe that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And there was a pastor when I came back to church that said, Isn't it good to be in the land of the living? And I don't know if he knew that I was standing on that, you know. It's good to be alive. And I thank God for my life. Don't take your life for granted. It was so shocking that this happened to me. Unexpected. We've got to be prepared and ready for the unexpected. Another thing that I did in the hospital is I examined my heart. I asked myself, you know, am I walking in love with the people in my life, with my relationships? That's very important because the way my mind works, and I thought, Lord, okay, I went through this exercise of examination, and I felt that I was really okay with everyone. I was loving everyone. I wasn't upset about anybody. And so after I got through, I felt relief. But my mind keeps going. And I think, Lord, if I would have slipped over, and if it would have been another day, what shape would I have been in? No wonder God says, don't let the day end in anger. Don't let the sun go down on your anger or your wrath. Be a peacemaker. And I really believe that you cannot be a godly lover if you're not a forgiver. So I may have passed the examination that day, but what if I wasn't treating people right in my life? What if I would have went on to the other side and my number was up? And I give before the Father, and he says, my word says in Matthew 6:15 that if you don't forgive others, guess what? You're not forgiven. He never promised us, oh, I'll make an exception for you. I'll excuse you because of the horrific things that have been done to you in your life. No. Jesus died for all sin. He died for all of my sin. He died for everybody's sin that would be committed against me. Every offense, every evil word, every evil deed that would ever be done to me, Jesus died for. And if I receive his blood and cleansing, then I must be merciful to others. Whether they say they're sorry, whether they repent, I need to be at peace and I need to be free. People, you just don't know sometimes what's ahead of us. Thank God that the scripture says the Holy Spirit will show you things to come, and he does. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And when people, when they're unforgiving, when they're hurt, they're offended, you'll hear it in the way that we talk. Mike and I were talking about negative words and confession, and he ministers to people after the service in prayer a lot. And it's really important that we speak according to God's word. If you're receiving healing when you come forward, then don't go away speaking sickness and disease. You speak healing, that you're healed. Speak God's promises over your life. And so as we're talking about this, and we deal with it in our own lives, it's good. Just take the next week and just catch yourself when you say negative words. When you say something to somebody that you know is not edifying, try to pay attention and be sensitive. The Holy Spirit notices. So we're talking about this negative confession and just speaking contrary to the scripture. And all of a sudden, I have a little image flash across my mind's eye. And it's a person that's in a burning building. And this building is like a house. And that person is just standing there. And I want you to turn over to James chapter 3. James chapter 3. This is a chapter that we may like to flip by. It's talking about the tongue. and the tongue is a fire. So when I see this, then the scriptures begin to rise up within me, and I'm going, In James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, so also the tongue is a small part of the body, and yet it boasts of great things. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of life and is set on fire by hell. Well, that's not real good, is it? But what happens when you yield your tongue to God? What happens when we yield our tongue to the Holy Spirit and pray in the Spirit? When we have the new life of Jesus Christ within us, sin is not to reign within our members, not to dominate us. You can, by the Spirit, dominate what you say. You can talk like heaven instead of talking like hell. Negative and ungodly words are destructive in life, and I don't think we realize how much that is true. And some people's lives are ablaze, and they continue to fan the flame of death and destruction with ungodly words. In James 4, verse 7, right there, the scripture says what? It says to submit to God, resist the devil, and what happens? He'll flee. Some people try to resist the devil, and they forget they've got to submit to God. All of a sudden, I'm going to come after the devil, and God's saying, wait, me first. Come here. He will deal with us. He can give you wisdom. You'll know what to do. And you will have the power, because you're in the presence of love, to go forth and stand against the enemy. Now, my Bible says resist the devil. Does yours? Are you sure it doesn't say assist the devil? Do you think some people sometimes think that might be? That's what we do when we don't order our heart and our conversation aright. Acceptable in the sight of the Lord. I think the way we speak, because it is what's in our heart, it is like a number one enemy. It's not so much the devil. Sometimes we just need to look in the mirror. And for this new year, it's my prayer and my hope in my own life and in yours, that if we need to change, if we need to make adjustments, if we need to repent, that we will do so to glorify God, to be His praise in the earth. Now, in Ephesians 6:16, it talks about the armor. And most of us are familiar with the armor of God. We have the helmet of salvation. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We have the sword of spirit. And in verse 16, in addition to all, taking up the shield of faith, which you will be able to extinguish or quench the flaming arrows, all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So faith is so important. What you believe is important to stop the enemy and turn him around. Now, faith is active. Faith without works is dead. You got to use your faith. So you have your breastplate of righteousness. You have your shield of faith and all the armor on. And you are able to extinguish the flaming arrows. Now, it says in 2 Corinthians 4:13, it says, having the same spirit of faith, we also believe, therefore we speak. Faith speaks. Faith is spoken from our mouths. And that's what we need to have coming out. The Word of God will give you power over ungodly fire. And I want to just ask you this morning, how many fires have we set lately in our lives and in the lives of others? Or have we allowed God to speak faith, to speak love, that we would render powerless? It's not working. It worked so well yesterday. You think we did it too much, honey? Probably so. All right. It's a CO2 canister. It doesn't make a mess. And so I'm just going to squirt it. If you can just use your creative imagination that God gave you. An extinguisher, fire extinguisher, that when you speak the Word of God, when you speak love, when you speak faith, when you speak things that are encouraging and edifying, words seasoned with grace, you are going to put out fires that the enemy would want to start in your life and in the lives of others. Amen. That is powerful. There's power in your tongue. Yield your tongue, for heaven's sake. I want to read out of Ephesians 4. How we speak to people and what we speak is important. And in Ephesians 4, verse 30, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. In verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. 32, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving each other, just as God in Christ also has forgiven you. And there are many scriptures that talk about forgiving. It is the standard of walking in God's love. It's a lifestyle. If you're going to love, you're going to be a forgiver. Go ahead and turn to John 10:10. The scripture tells us that the thief, which is the enemy, comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have another illustration, and I believe this one is going to work for me. All right. The enemy thinks along the lines of the Humpty Dumpty nursery rhyme. Yeah. Thus, eggs. He believes that we need to have a great fall and that no one be able to put us back together again. And some of you may have experienced the hurts and pain and loss in life. It could be just feeling unwanted and unloved. It could be abuse. How about the pain of divorce, the death of a loved one, offended in the church, I almost missed. Get ready, clean up. How about your dog dies? That was for me. I had to put my dog down just a week before Christmas. And she was a very special dog. Her name was Lucy, and she was a Sheltie. But I thank God for the time that I had with my little precious dog. What about betrayal of someone you trusted? A job or financial loss? What about sickness or disease? The enemy is counting on our lives being so shattered that we don't feel like it, nor do we choose to get up and run our race. No matter how shattered a life might be, there is healing for every hurt, there's comfort for every sorrow, and there's grace, strength, and power for every weakness. The second part of John 10:10, which we really like, is Jesus, where he says, "I came that they might have life and have it abundantly." That means superabundant, superior, excessive. It's a life with advantage. And that's what the grace of God, the favor of God has given us. We didn't deserve it. We're not worthy in and of ourselves, but we receive the one who is worthy. So he causes worth and value in our life. We look to him. It's beyond measure. It's a very highly. And I want to read part of Rick Renner's expanded interpretive translation. I really like this, people. This is the life that we have within us. The very life of God on the inside of us. The life of Jesus Christ within us. By the power of the Holy Spirit. It is life unrivaled, unequaled. It's a matchless life. Don't you like that? It's incomprehensible. It's richly loaded. It's overflowing life to the ultimate maximum. Isn't that something? He has given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing there is. You have the right stuff. You have what it takes and who it takes to walk this year as an overcomer. Let me just read what an overcomer is. A survivor is someone who lives longer or exists longer or in spite of something. But the overcomer is someone who gets the better of, who defeats, who conquers, and we are more than a conqueror through him who loves us because of our Jesus. It means to master, to prevail over, to overcome obstacles, to overpower and overwhelm. It means to win. Yes. We win. Yes. I'm alive. Yes. Amen. Amen. So live it up this year with an overcoming life. And it's living from the inside out. And when you let the life of God on the inside of you out by faith, you'll see things change around you. They are subject to the word of God. If you are speaking forth godly words, watch and see the salvation of the Lord. Again, I want to say, don't take life for granted. I am so thankful that I didn't slip away to the other side. I wouldn't have seen Thanksgiving, Christmas. My son and daughter-in-law are having their second baby. I have a precious granddaughter, Madison, who's 3. And now I'm going to get my grandson, Evan Jr. Wave your hand, Mandy and Evan. Woo-hoo. My grandson's going to be here in just a couple weeks, and I'm here to meet him. Hallelujah. Glory. Go ahead and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I could have used a basketball, but I know that our God is so big. I wanted a big ball for this one. I want to say this morning that there is bounce back power in God. No matter what you face, people, whatever obstacle you have to overcome in this year until Jesus comes, you can do it through the grace of God Almighty. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, in verse 6, "For God who said light shall shine out of darkness is the one who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ." So keep your eyes on Him. Keep your heart set on Him. When I was in the hospital, there was a moment when I said, "Father, dear Jesus, just hold me. Just hold me." And I just closed my eyes and I could see myself just falling into their arms of love and security in the face of Jesus Christ. In verse 7, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels so that the surpassing greatness of the power will be of God and not from ourselves." And the word says that we have been strengthened with all power. We have been given all power. Whatever power that we need in this earth to walk in, you have it from your Father. It's been paid for by the blood of Jesus that you can live an overcoming life. In verse 8, it says, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but we are not despairing." We're bouncing back. "We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed. Sickness may come against us, but we are healed. Death may come against us," and I had to bind a spirit of death because I chose life. We're not going to die. We're not going to die. Father, give us wisdom that we will number our days. We're not going to let our number come up early. We don't believe in subtraction. The total's there. Bounce back. This year, are we carrying things that we need to let go of? Is there a shattering in our lives that we haven't been healed from? It's time to bounce back. First row, look up. He's a big God. He's a big God. Surviving is important, but overcoming is God's standard. And I want to say that the word says in 1 John 5:4 that the victory that overcomes the world, again, is our faith. Are you speaking faith? Are you using your faith? What is it you really believe? People decide now. If I didn't know what my call was, if I didn't know God was done with me, when I got in that hospital, that doctor would have scared me. And some people are probably literally scared to death. But I know in whom I have believed. And my life is in His hands. And I want to do what I have to do in this earth to finish my race. And you should be the same. Jesus overcame this world so that you and I would have that power in our words and in our life to live through Him and have the same results. Victory. Overcoming. No less. There's a story about Paul in Acts 28, in verses 4 and 5. And it's a story about he'd just been shipwrecked. And the people are swimming, they're floating, they're dog paddling to shore. And they end up on this island called Malta. The natives are there, and a fire is built. Paul comes over with a bundle of wood, puts it in the fire, and all of a sudden, a snake, a viper, comes out and bites him on the hand. Now, that snake did not let go. And the natives saw the snake, and they thought, he is going to surely die. He must be some bad character. Well, it's hanging off of Paul, and he just shakes it off into the fire. And some of us, this year, this day, we got some things we got to shake off. Amen. If the devil has shown up in your life and he has bit you, if there's been a shattering, if there's something that you need to bounce back from, deciding your heart today, that's not the life God has for us, to be down and depressed, sick, diseased, to be overwhelmed with the cares of this life. He is the joy. He is the strength of our life. Look to Him. Put your trust in Him. And live the life that you've been called to live. I'm going to close with this in Jude. And in Jude, it's talking about grumblers, fault finders. It's talking about people that are ungodly. They're speaking ungodly talk, talking against God. And we come down to the scripture that we know and we love in verse 20. But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Thank God when trials come or crisis, or when sickness or disease come against you, thank God for tongues. Amen. Thank God we can pray in the Spirit. We don't always know every detail of what we're up against, but God does. And it builds us up. It will lift us up. It will help us to bounce back when you pray in the Spirit. And that's really one of the many themes in our church, is praying in the Spirit. It has changed our life. And then, so important, is verse 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Again, get rid of the anger, the bitterness. Whatever anyone has done to you is not worth coming between you and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not higher than the blood of Jesus, the very price that was paid. That you would have the power in the life of the Lord to forgive. And it's not a conditional forgiveness. It's just forgive so that you will be free and that other person will be freed from you. And then even as we heard this morning, let God deal with them. It's their problem. Don't let their problem become yours. Keep your heart clean this year. Keep it clean. Be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is showing you and telling you. You don't know in a moment's time of what God might want you to do and be ready for. Will we be ready? Waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And this is why, people, this is why we've got to bounce back. This is why we've got to be whole, body, soul, and spirit. This is why we've got to walk in love and speak faith. Because there are those that need us out there. There are neighbors. There are community. They're in the workplace. They're in the grocery store. They're all around us. And I said not too long ago, I said, Lord, you know, life, it doesn't mean much unless every day I can be a blessing to someone. It's like when you love God, you've got to give out. And you can give out in a variety of ways. It might just be when you're going out, it might be just smiling to that clerk that's having a really bad day. She may not feel good. Nobody's giving her a break. You can. Being kind to people. Proverbs 31 says that the woman there, the law or teaching of kindness is on her tongue. Again, what are you using your mouth for? Heaven or hell? You know, heaven is watching us. Heaven is listening. But so is the enemy. And we can give place to him by speaking the ungodly, because that's the arena and the atmosphere that he moves in. Cut it off. Take your sword. Speak the faith. Cut it off. Yield for heaven's sake. So there are those out there. And the word says, have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And how are we going to do that? We're going to do it through the Lord. We're going to do it with our armor on. We're going to be speaking the right things before God and man. We're going to be walking in an awesome, the most powerful love that this earth has ever known. It drives the enemy crazy. And it puzzles the world. They don't understand. How can we be in peace with everything going on in this world when people will actually, they're going to faint from fear because of who we know and who lives on the inside of us. It's God at work within us, both to do and to work and to will for his good pleasure. Not mine, his. We've been bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Glorify God with your mouth, with your whole being. You know, it's time, people, to surrender. The enemy is looking on, and he's seeing those that name the name of the Lord, the Christians. Who's really serious? Who really means what they say? And is a doer of God's word. They're the ones that will succeed. They're the ones that will be blessed. And it's worth it. Pastor John, is it worth it? Hallelujah. Bounce back. I want everybody to just close your eyes just for a moment. Just have a moment of privacy. If there's anybody here this morning who has never received the Lord Jesus Christ, we want to minister to you. And if there's, I don't know if there are any of the musicians that want to come, and feel free. If you don't know this Jesus that we love, this Jesus, the Savior, this Jesus that died for you and died for all of us, we want you to receive him this morning. Is there anybody here that's never asked Jesus into their heart? You never received him into your life. Is there anybody at all? Now is the time. Now is the day of salvation. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Looks like we're a saved crowd. Also, if you've not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, we want to minister to you today. Touched on that a little bit. We touch on it all the time in this church. It's life-changing. It's powerful. You'll be able to talk to God anytime, anywhere. It'll bring peace to your life. It will edify you. You will pray the perfect will of God for your life and the lives of others. If you've not received the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, would you raise your hand and you want to today? Is there anybody? Anybody? Thank you, Jesus. Well, we are a tongue-talking bunch. Praise God. Praise God. It's humbling to yield your tongue and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. It doesn't go through our mind. It's a God gift and so precious. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not where you know you should be. And you just feel that tugging on your heart. Lord, I want to draw close to you. I want to get back where I belong. Lord God, I'm coming home today. What we call restored fellowship. That you begin anew, praying, talking to God, fellowshipping with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. If that's you, would you raise your hand? We want to minister to you today too. Thank you, Lord. All right. Is everybody right with God? Listen, I want you to stand to your feet. And there's one other thing that I want to do. And the altar workers, please come forward if you will. Thank you, Jesus. I'm going to ask actually for two things. And over on this side, if you're here and you've just really been touched by the message and you've already made adjustments in your heart, but you would like somebody to come in agreement with you and just believe this is going to be the greatest year yet, you're ready to bounce back in a big way in your big God, then I want you to come forward if you want prayer this morning. And come on forward if you do. And I want you to stand over on this side if anybody wants prayer. You're going forth anew. Come on, sweetie. Come on. Come on. This is it. You know, heaven is looking. Heaven is looking. We humble ourselves. He gives grace to the humble. You're where I am. I had to say, I'm bouncing back in a big way. I was almost taken out. I don't want that to ever happen again. I don't want to be silent. I want all that God has for me. I want to finish the call, the course. I want to finish my race. Is there anybody else that this is a new day for? God has good things for each of you. He has a future and a hope that will not be cut off. You press in and you draw near. No more assisting the devil, people. We resist because we've drawn near to Almighty God, Abba Father, Daddy, Daddy. And I want to just admonish you, precious brothers and sisters, get in the Word. Put the promises in your heart. Like me, if I hadn't, I don't know what I would have done. It was there for me, so it'll be there for you. God performs His Word. You have angels that minister unto the heirs of salvation, and they're watching and listening for somebody to speak words of faith, somebody to speak the Word of God so that they can do their job. And we want to keep them busy. Over here on this side, if you come this morning and you want prayer for healing in your body, I want you to come up here on this side for healing in your body. Hallelujah. Is there anybody that needs healing in their body over here? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I want to tell you a story about my husband. There have been so many testimonies through prayer ministry. And one of the ones he just got last night was a guy came up and said, "Remember me, you pray for me." And this man came forward for prayer. And he had been told by the doctors that there was a tumor that was cancerous. He was prayed over. And it was spoken over him, the word of the Lord. "They're not going to find cancer, and you're not going to have pain." And he came back, showed my husband his scar. He said the scar didn't look like a scar. It wasn't red or, you know. They didn't find cancer. This guy was just absolutely elated. Our God is so big. He does exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we would ask or think. He's a healing God. Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. We're the healed. We're the healed. Even if sickness comes against our body, we are still the healed according to the spirit realm and the word of God. We just need to resist that which is not of God and stand against it. Thank you, Jesus. Want to come? Okay. Some of the altar workers that want to come and you got faith for healing, come up here in this ministry. And
before we close in prayer, our brother here wanted to share just a minute because how this message impacted him this morning.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I don't know how many of y'all received this message this morning, but I received it this morning wholeheartedly, 100%. All because this summer when I was on vacation, I kind of like went through an experience, not medically or anything like that, but the devil, he attacked me in my sleep. And my wife, she can attest to this because we have talked about it many times. Lonnie Summers shared, going back to the basics, that touched my heart. Pastor has shared some things that really touched my heart also. So I'm here to tell you this morning that I received that 100% because Satan attacked me in my sleep. And he attacked my belief in God, I feel. And I was there sleeping, and when he came over me, the whole room just turned black. I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. I couldn't do anything. All I could do was live on the word of God and my belief in him. And that's what brought me out of that. I just kept going and seeing in my spiritual mind over and over again. And I went back to the basics like Lonnie was saying. There was an old song that we used to sing when I used to go to the Baptist church, "The blood of Jesus that made me whole."
Amen.
And that is what brought me out of that. I kept saying it over and over and over.
Amen.
Again, until that black cloud just went away.
Amen.
I was able to move. I was able to speak. I got up the next morning first thing and told my wife about it. And I continually to tell about it now. And every time there's a message in this church that touched my heart in that way, I receive it and I tell her about it right there in the pews as it is happening, as it is going on. I just want to encourage you, if you are here today and you do not know Jesus, you need to come forward and let him show his love to you, just like he has shown his love to me. Amen.
Thank you, dear brother. Thank you. Thank you. He does give us songs of deliverance. I was singing that song, although I may not have had the words in the right order, but I sang it anyway. But the one that goes that he saved me, he filled me, he healed me to the uttermost, makes me want to shout hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. That rose up. And then I made jingles like, "Do you have what it takes to finish your race?" You know? So that praise and worship, if you praise and worship, in the good times, praise and worship when it's not so good. It'll bring you out. It will lift you up. It creates an atmosphere that God inhabits around you and in you, an atmosphere of victory and overcoming in your life. It's really important. And another key in this new year is to have a thankful heart. All of you are going to be prayed for. Go away thanking God that He's done what you needed to have done. Lord, do in us what you will. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to go ahead and I'll pray and we'll dismiss. If you have to go get your children, please feel free to do so. And then we'll be praying and ministering to these up here. Father, we just thank you for your precious word again. Father, I believe your word has gone forth and it will not return void. Your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It divides asunder between spirit and soul, joints and marrows. It's able to discern the thoughts and intents of our hearts. And Father, we believe this morning that there was a cutting away of that which was not of you. Father, I just speak a blessing of overcoming life on my brothers and sisters. I am so thankful for my family. The family of God is so important, Father. We thank you that the God of the universe has called us His own. So, Father, we rejoice in the day that you have made. This is a blessed day, a day of favor. And we thank you in the name of Jesus. Well, go in peace if you need to go now. Go ahead. Mm-hmm.